What a gorgeous, beautiful weekend we are having. Y'all enjoying? Hello, good morning. There we go. We got some folks here. Good deal. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. It is great to be in the house of the Lord. We have the opportunity today to come and to worship, to be a part of a baby dedication this morning. We have four young ones that are going to be water baptized. Woohoo! That's pretty cool. We need Diane here to get that woohoo going. I'm just teasing. If you would, let's stand and let's open with a word of prayer. And you have a choice to make. You can be entertained this morning, or you can be a participant this morning. It's all a matter of a choice. And I choose this day, God, to love you, to worship you, to give you all that I am. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I'm in a house, I'm in a church, Father, Lord, that loves you and serves you and gives to this community, Lord. Thank you, Lord, though, as we worship you this morning, Lord, that you pour into us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Your grace is enough. Praise you for your life and your death and your resurrection, and for what beauty that you bring to us and to the world. God, come into the atmosphere today. We lift you up.
A thousand times I fell, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Yeah, my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and grace become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Well, above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine in all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. And never ending, your glory goes beyond.
Flow in us, overpower. Christ.
Perfect love could not be overcome.
Praise you, God. You are so good. You are so wonderful. You're so powerful. Your love is unfailing. Your mercy is new every moment of every day, God. We can't give you enough praise. We can't give you enough blessings. God, you are just always so good all the time. We thank you for all that you have given us, all you are going to bless us with. God, you are so good. We love you and we thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Amen. You may be seated.
Man, that's quite a song. That kind of song gets me stirred up to be reminded of what Christ did for us and all that was accomplished. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? All right. Yeah. Do you know enthusiasm is the most contagious thing there is on the face of the earth? Enthusiasm. Most contagious thing there is. Glad you're enthused about it. Gonna have a baby dedication right now, and so gonna ask Alec and Sandon to be coming. You know, you're getting older when you're dedicating babies of mothers you dedicated when they were babies. But it's exciting to be able to do that. At least I know I was able to stick around this long and y'all didn't run me off or anything. Good. When you dedicate your children to the Lord, you're saying to God, I'm giving back to you who you gave to me, because they were with the Lord in the beginning. Their spirits was with God, and when you conceived, he took a spirit and placed in this little boy, and that he is God's all of his life, and you have a covenant with God today that one day in the future, whatever day that may be, whatever age that may be, he's going to give his heart to Christ. He's going to make his own commitment. Because the Bible says that you made all of my delicate parts and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me when I was being formed in utter seclusion, when I was woven together in the womb. You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. When I wake up, you're still with me. Yeah. Let me do this dedication, all right? So, Tide, Daniel, we christen you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Tide, your name, Tide, means that you have a great desire to achieve and to overcome. And it means that you want to have power and wealth. And Daniel means that God is my judge, no one else. But besides that, we just recently was reminded how Daniel was in the lion's den. And he turned his back on his troubles, and he looked out a window and saw a bright future. And may you, Tide, Daniel, always turn your back on your troubles and look to the brightness of your future and only see what's good and pleasant and lovely. And we dedicate you this day to the Father of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, and of you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Done them all. Somebody asked me one time, said, can you dedicate them again? After they get about 2 years old, they want to come back and say, can we do this one more time? I don't know if this took. But it's kind of like adults, you know, they get born again, and we have a lot of moments of rededication, right? You ever rededicated yourself? Well, I hope you, if you hadn't, you're going to do it this morning then we get through. All right. Thank you, Ron. This is the last Sunday. Ron's going to be doing this for me for about at least 4 months. He's going to Daytona Beach to do nursing down there for 4 months. So God bless you, Ron. I'll save on some food bill at my house. You knew that was coming, didn't you? All right. You look good today. Good. It's a feel-good day, isn't it? Weather's beautiful. We're in a series called The Miners, and it's about the minor prophets. They weren't minor prophets because of what they said, but it was of the amount they said. And theologians put that title on them. Major prophets was Isaiah and Ezekiel, and they wrote these long, long books. And then there were these prophets who came on the scene at different and sundry times in history, and God used them to speak a word that was absolutely marvelous and amazing. And they were not minor because of how much they said, but of the amount they said. How many know that you don't have to say a whole lot if you say the right thing? You don't have to say a whole lot if you say the right thing. I'm reminded this week of my mother's birthday and Dusty sharing something about some of the truths that Big Mama given her over the years. And one of the biggest truths that Big Mama told Dusty one time, and Dusty said that her and Chris had a little myth and they had to talk things out. Mother said, that's what's wrong with this generation. You think you got to talk everything out. Sometimes it's best just not to talk it out. How many know that? Silence is golden sometimes, and you would all just remember that. But I want to introduce you to a minor prophet. And I didn't want you to get to heaven and Habakkuk come up to you and say, hi, my name's Habakkuk. And you go, Tobacco who? And who are you? Or Haggai comes up and you wonder, who is Haggai? You know, I've heard of Paul and Peter and James and John, but who are these guys? And so when you get to heaven, Haggai comes up to you and says, hi, I'm Haggai. I know you. I know what you did. I know what you said. Man, you are something mighty. The books of the Old Testament are not in chronological order. And you got the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. And it's about the beginning of the nation of Israel. And after the Pentateuch, you go into the book of Joshua. And after Joshua, you go into the book of Judges. And after Judges, Ruth. And after Ruth, there's two books that come in called Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah actually should have been at the end of the Old Testament. They were men who, after the Babylonian captivity of 70 years, and after the destruction of Jerusalem at that time, and the walls being broken down, God raised up Ezra to go in and rebuild the temple. And God raised up Nehemiah to go in and rebuild the walls. Well, while Ezra and the people were rebuilding the walls, there's a scripture in Ezra 6:14 that says this: the elders were greatly encouraged by the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai and Zechariah. Because something happened to them that happens with every person on the face of the earth. That you begin a project, you begin a journey, you begin a commitment, and along the way, you're going to have a moment where it gets difficult. You're going to have a moment where you might even say, this is harder than I thought it was going to be. Some people go to the walking track and they're surprised when they get there there's not an escalator going around. And they go, this is harder than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, you have to exert some energy. The track doesn't move. You have to actually walk on it, actually do something. And if I ask you today, how many of you want to get better? How many want a better life? Everyone would say, I want a better life. I want to tell you something. You're not going to get a better life until you get a stronger life. Strength is what's going to make things better. Okay? And so, when I read these first few verses, here's the history. The people of Israel are rebuilding the temple. And they're starting to get weary, and they're starting to really get tired of what they're doing. And it says, on August the 29th of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord gave a message through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel and Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. The people are saying, say the people are saying. How many know there's always somebody out there saying? They say. I never knew who they were, but they say. And so the people are always saying something, and this is what they were saying. The time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Wow. How could it not be time to rebuild the house of the Lord? How could it never, ever in my lifetime have it? Can it ever not be time to make things better? Is there ever a time in my life that it's not time to make things better? And see what happens. It's an old cop-out when you say, well, it's just not time. You're just not ready. You just don't want to exert the effort that needs to be done. And so the people got weary and tired and say, you know, it ain't time to rebuild the temple. He said, the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. I like the old King James Version. It says, consider your ways. Every now and then you got to stop and look. You know, things aren't going right. Things are really not happening the way it ought to be happening. Well, don't start looking elsewhere for it. Look at yourself and see what's happening. What's going on inside of me? What's happening inside of me? You see, let me give you this long history right quick. God has always wanted his glory, man to experience his glory. Adam and Eve experienced his glory in the garden. God's glory was in the garden. God built the tabernacle, and God's glory was in the tabernacle. God built Solomon's temple. God's glory dwelt in Solomon's temple. Jesus Christ came, and he was full of grace and mercy, and he was full of grace and truth, and the glory of God was upon him, and such glory that the only begotten of the Father had given him. After Christ ascended into heaven, he said that now he wants that glory, not in brick and mortar, not in buildings, but in people. The glory now resides in people. He says, those I called, I justified. Those I justified, I'll glorify. Hebrews said that Christ did what he did that he might bring many sons unto glory. He said, what is glory? Glad you asked, because it is very difficult to explain. Glory is a word that is filled with significant meaning. It means weight. It means heaviness. You ever saw someone and said, that person carries a lot of weight? Now, we're not talking about size and pounds. We're talking about their presence carry a lot of weight. They have a lot of influence on people. And see, what God wants in every single one of us here is for his glory to be so in us that when you walk by people as Peter did, something significant will happen. Even your shadow will make a difference on people when you walk by them, because the glory of God is in your life. And so what happened, they got tired. He said, now, these houses you're in, they're luxurious. What do you mean it's not time to build my house? Look at the house you live in. Now, let me bring that up to date. I'm not talking about a physical house. I'm talking about a spiritual house. And see, people focus so much on their physical surroundings, Oh, I want this car, I want this house, I want these clothes, I want this, I want that. And he says, you're wanting all these things, and you're neglecting the most important house, your temple of the Holy Spirit that God resides within. That is awesome, church. That God is interested in you because that your body is where he dwells. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says, now, just look around you as what's going on. Now, this scripture's been used to build a lot of churches, and there's nothing wrong with that. People have used a vision to cast out and say, you know, you live in all these nice homes. What about it's time to rebuild the house of the Lord? And that's fine and dandy, but I'm talking today about the most important house, and that's your house. That's your house. I've called this thing a sheep shed since the beginning. This is just a sheep shed. It's where the sheep come to get fed. It's where they come to learn, to get nutrition, and to get stronger so they can go out and be who God called them to be. It's not the building that's important. It's the building that you reside in, that God lives in. It's you. He says, this is what the Lord of armies says in verse 7. Look what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. In other words, you've got to do something. Track ain't coming to you. You got to go to the track. Gym's not coming to you. You got to go to the gym. All right. The church is not coming to you. You got to come to us. Not forsaking the gathering yourself together as a manner of some is, and even more as you see the day approaching. Because you need to be fed. You need to be uplifted. You need to be encouraged. You need to be strengthened. You need to get stronger so I can go out and breathe the glory of God in the earth. All right, come on. Then I will take pleasure in it and honor, says the Lord. You hope for rich harvest, but they were poor. When you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruin, says the Lord of Heaven's army, while all of you are busy building your own fine houses. You're just too busy doing things that you ought not to be busy about. You need to be busy about you. You need to be busy about you. Now, what was their response? In verse 12, it says, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people began to obey the message from the Lord their God. Wow. You know, let me tell you something. That's a beautiful passage of Scripture, because when you read the Old Testament, there were so many times God spoke and people rebelled. God spoke and they turned their ears away from him. God spoke and they just would not listen. But this time they said they begin to obey the Lord. Now here is God's response. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this people this message from the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel and the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the enthusiasm of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people got stirred up. There's nothing more contagious than enthusiasm. Do you know the word God actually comes from the word enthuse? Enthuse? When Moses wanted to build the tabernacle, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord stirred the people up. Now, let me give you a definition of what stirred up means. And because some things stir you up and some things don't stir you up. That one person to get stirred up about one thing, another person to get stirred up about something else. You with me? So what does it mean? Well, it means to lift, to accept, to advance, to arise, to bring, to desire, to ease, to exalt, to forgive, to furnish, to further, to go on, to help, to hold up, to be honorable, to magnify, to pardon, to receive, to respect, to yield. Did you get hit anywhere in there? Did I stir up anybody? Did that word enthuse you? Do you need to be lifted up at times? Do you need to forgive at times? And see, what it's saying is their eyes was awakened to what they really needed to be about. We can get so blinded by and busy about other things that we're not awakened to what's really happening in my life. And what Haggai is saying, I want to awaken you to what's already there. I want to awaken you to who you really are, not who you're saying you are, other people saying you are. I want to awaken you to who you really are. And then God goes on and it says in the second chapter in verse 5, my spirit remains among you just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So do not be afraid. My spirit hasn't left you. God's spirit, whether shall I go from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I go into hell, you are there. I can't escape the spirit of the Lord. I can't get away from where I came from. Is that good stuff? That's his promise. His promise is his presence. Also, second of all, his promise is his provision. Say provision. I love this verse, Haggai 2:6. For this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry. Let me tell you what he's saying right here. In just a little while. This is a prophetic word for every person here. Whatever you're going through, wherever you are, in just a little while, God will do whatever he needs to do to get you right. He'll shake the heavens. He'll shake. This is not a literal shake. God didn't shake the heavens and shake the earth. He says, I'll do whatever it takes to get the glory of God in you. I will shake heavens. I will shake earth. Anybody ever heard, man, I'd move heaven and hell for you. I would do this for you. What? Why? You, because of your great love. You say to your kid, man, I would do this for you. Are you with me? You would. I walk through hell for you. Why do you do that? Because you love them so much. And God said, I'll do whatever it takes for you because I love you this much. I will do whatever it takes. And so he says, I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of all nations will be brought into this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Why? The silver is mine, the gold is mine. The future glory of this temple will be greater than the past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. That's his provisions, and that's his promise. I will do it. I will do whatever it takes to get it done. I will shake heaven. I will shake the earth. I will do whatever it takes to do it. Now let me tell you what happened when you read in the book of Ezra. When all this took place, there was two things that happened. They were saying, this is just not as glorious as it once was. Man, I just wish for the good old days. Really? Really? Even my daddy knew better. My daddy would say, I don't want the good old days. They were not so good. Things are much better now than they were back then. This is the good days. It is. This is the good days. You're just going to walk out of here in a few minutes, hop in an automobile, crank it up, drive off, go to a restaurant. They're going to come out and wait on you. You're going to give them money. You're going to eat. And they used to have to walk home, kill the chicken, pluck it, fry it. Now we got to just go get it, turn a light switch on, the light comes on, turn the light switch off, light goes off. Got a cell phone, I ain't got to find a phone booth, just pull it out of my pocket, talk to somebody in Africa if I want to. Man. What? Oh, I wish for the good old days. I was talking about in a plane one time, and they was flying. They said, by the way, we have Wi-Fi now, so everybody on the plane can get on your computers. You got Wi-Fi now. And 15 minutes later, the Wi-Fi went down. Everybody started moaning and groaning. 15 minutes before that, they didn't even know they had Wi-Fi. 15 minutes later, they're moaning and groaning because they ain't got Wi-Fi. 35,000 miles in the air. Oh, I had a drop call. I'm just so aggravated with this phone. Really? It had to go from here to a satellite up in out of space back to Earth so you can talk to somebody in Africa, and you go, oh gosh, I had a drop call. Really? Really? We get all upset over such insignificant, trivial things, so busy about stuff that really doesn't matter. Really? Oh, I had a drop call. Come on. It's not that bad. Matter of fact, all you got to do, you don't even have to hit the buttons again. We don't even know phone numbers anymore. Anybody? I asked somebody, what's your cell number? I don't know. Don't even know. I lost my cell phone at the airport one time, and I went back to get it, and they had it, and I said, that's my phone. They said, what's your number? I said, I don't know. They said, you don't know your cell phone? I said, no. They said, well, we can't give it to you if you can't even tell us the number in it. Well, I said, well, can I tell you something? And they opened it up and said, well, and I started naming some people. I said, okay, it must be your phone. We don't know numbers. We don't have to dial. We just punch a number. Favorites, boom. And it's there. Oh, no, it's tough. The future. I love it. In verse 16, this was their future. When you hope for a 20-bushel crop, you only got 10. When you expected to draw 50 gallons from the wine press, well, that would be terrible. You only got 20. I see blight and mildew and hail destroy everything you worked so hard to produce. Even so, you refuse to return to me, says the Lord. Then about this 18th day of December, when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, think carefully. I am giving you a promise. Now while the seed is still in the barn. My gosh. I'm giving you a promise, and the seed's not even out of the barn yet. I'm giving you a promise, and you haven't even sown one seed. Wow. Even so, you refuse. Think about it. Think carefully. You have not yet harvested your grain, and your grapevines and fig trees and pomegranates and olive trees have not yet produced their crops. But from this day onward, I will bless you. And that's the promise to every person in this house today. You can buy into it, or you don't have to buy into it. You can leave here the same person you came. You can leave here with the same attitude you had when you came. You can leave here with the same negativity and the same thinking that you had when you came. You can leave here the same way. Well, you can leave here with a promise from God who says, I will shake heavens and earth and do anything and everything I've got to bring the glory of God back into your presence. I will do whatever it takes for you to experience the glory of God, for you to be a weight and a presence in this earth that is so powerful that it shakes other people's lives. I'll do it. Now I wish I had time to read it. I'm not going to read all of it in Ezra. But in Ezra, there were two kinds of people. I mean, there's always two kinds of people. And this temple started going up. And they started seeing this beautiful, elaborate temple being rebuilt. And there were some people over here going, they were laughing and shouting and rejoicing and just having a big time. Yay! Everybody say yay. Yay! Yay! And then there was people over here on the other side. And they were going, ain't what it used to be. Ain't what it used to be. And just started crying. But I love what the Bible says in Ezra. The shouting was so loud that they couldn't tell the difference in who was crying and who was shouting. Up that. If you get enough people excited, they will override and overshadow the shouts and the cries of the other people, and all that will really be heard is the shouting for glory. That's good stuff. I got fanned myself down on that. I preached this whole message just to say that. It can be that much better. But I got to get stronger to get better. Went back to the knee doctor. Doctor, my knee still hurts. He said, well, you do have some arthritis in it. I didn't come hear that. My knee still hurt. He said, well, did you do the exercises? Oh, that paper you gave me that said do this, this, and this. He said, yeah, did you do that? I said, I couldn't. I get my own mess. I like when people come to me and they go, Pastor, da 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 da. Well, did you do this? No. Did you read your Bible? Somebody called me one night. They were so distressed. I said, listen, read your Bible, pray to God, go to bed, take two aspirins. In the morning, joy comes. Just come on, do something. You got to do something to get something. And you think that doctor had, he was overridden with sympathy for me? He kind of looked at me like, you look like you're a smarter man than that. You don't look as dumb as you're talking. And I thought I had a great excuse. How many always think they got a great excuse? And so this is what I said to him. I said, well, you know, this knee's bad too. And he says, we're going to fix that one day. And I said, well, it's not locking up like it was. And so he said, well, we'll fix it one day. I said, well, when I tried to do these exercises for this knee, it bothered this knee, and I thought I was going to get locked up doing them exercises. And so I was afraid that this knee, he said, you know there's other exercises you can do. Oh. You know there's more than one scripture in the Bible. It's a pretty big book. You know, there's something in there to get you straightened out. I'm preaching now. I'm telling you. You can find something in the Bible. You can find a prescription in there that will meet your every need. Glory to God. Somebody, there's something in there. You can find some. Oh, that exercise didn't work. Do this exercise. My God, do something. Stand on your head and whistle Dixie. Do something. Do something. And he says, and see, this kid is coming. There's this, I love the New Testament too. And so I'm going to close with passages of scripture. I just love, because it talks about that he's called you to go from glory to glory. Strength to strength. Glory. And not just get it today. Get more next week. You can grow old and crusty if you want, or you can grow old and glorious. You really can. You can grow old and crusty or old and glorious. I'm going to choose the glorious. How about you? Oh, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, now it's going to hit you some way. Moses had a glory, and he went up to a mountain, and he got the word from the Lord, and he got the Ten Commandments up there. He got a lot up there. He's coming down, and there was a glory on him, and it was just shine forth. But as he came forth, the glory faded. The closer he got to camp, the glory faded till they put something over him so the people wouldn't see the glory fading away. Now, why did that glory fade? Because it was a glory of the spirit of condemnation. You see, I could preach a hellfire damnation message to you today, and I could tell you how wicked and mean, good for nothing, and sorry you are. call out a few sins and probably get some people to the altar and repent. And there would be a spirit of condemnation that brought you here. And there would be a glory. You'd be for a moment, oh, thank God, I'm changed. And then you're going, as you're walking out of here, before you get to that back door, that glory is going to start fading. Because it's not a glory that will lead you into another glory. It's a glory that just brought you from where you were to where you are now. And that glory is going to fade. He said there's another glory that came through the Spirit. And Christ came. And this glory doesn't fade. This is not a glory of condemnation. This is a glory of enthusiasm. This is a glory of you can do it. This is a glory of you are not created to be that way. You are created to be this way. You are not created to be a failure. You are created to be a success. You weren't created to be negative. You were created to be positive. And this glory, he says, goes from glory to glory. Whoever turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is a spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Wow. God doesn't show you the bad things in your life to condemn you, but to only compare what's not to be to what you should be is all glorious. You with me? See, I pray totally differently than I used to pray. Matter of fact, I catch myself praying, I don't know if y'all do this now. I do this. I start praying. I say, forget that, God. That's not what I'm saying. It's not even what I'm asking. Let me start over. You ever said that to somebody? It's not what I'm trying to say. And I used to pray a certain way different times during the week, especially on Sunday mornings when I'm coming to the church. I pray and I ask the Lord. I used to pray, God, for the anointing. I used to pray for this, asking for this. Asking, forgive me for not studying as much as I should have studied this week. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. And just trying to get myself cleaned up for you. just so you think I'm a real good pastor. I mean, just try to get in shape. And then I've learned a new thing. I'm filled with the presence and the power and the Spirit and the glory of the God of the universe, who had never left me, never forsaken me. I am with you to the ends of the earth. And so I start praying. I say, well, I just release the anointing of the Holy Spirit in my life. I thank you that I'm righteous before you, that I am clean and holy and good. And now use me to do what you want to do and to say what you want to say. You've got to see yourself the way God sees you, because he sees you glorious. He sees you glorious. Don't say it's not time. It's the worst thing you can say. It ain't time. Yeah, it is. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow for the harvest is now. Let me tell you what spiritual that saying. Don't wait till you see the fruit. Fruit's already there. Harvest is now. It's not going to be one day in the sweet by and by. It's going to be right now. Aren't you glad that he's a now God? He does a now thing. He's always in the present. There's two thieves on each side of Christ when he died on the cross. But you know what? One of them thought right, one of them didn't. And you know what? There's two thieves on each side of you. It's your past and it's your future. And as long as you look into your past, that thief will rob from you from now on. And if you just say the time is not yet, the future will steal from you, because the future is not here and the past is gone. All you got is right now. All I have is this very moment in my life. This is all that matters, and I'm going to seize this moment, and I'm not going to let my past or my future rob from me and steal from me. I'm going to live today. Took me a long time to get to that. Took me a long time. I've decided, I don't know how many more years I've got on this earth, but I've decided this: every year I'm going to enjoy, and every moment I'm going to enjoy. And matter of fact, I'm going to enjoy the moments, because I don't have the years. I got the moments, though. And I'm going to enjoy every moment in this life. And I'm going to listen, and I'm going to learn. There's another way to exercise, big boy. Something else you can do. That didn't work? Do this. Keep trying. Well, we tried this. Well, try something else. You keep trying. And as I'm getting ready for water baptism, my favorite scripture. My favorite scripture. You ready? You've heard me quote this. I want you to say this with me. Ready? Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. Say that. When I fall, I shall rise again. You may knock me down, but I'm not knocked out. No. You can knock me down all you want, but I'm getting right back up. Amen? Will.
Ushers will be preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. It's good to see these little ones coming in, and big ones. They're not all little, are they, anymore? It's amazing how they're growing up. Apologize for any confusion that we may have caused you with First Wednesdays. Those of you that showed up on the second Wednesday of the month for Wednesday night service, and nobody was here. First Wednesdays is the first Wednesday night of each month. So that'll be June 3rd. I'm going to confuse you again. We're taking July off, and we'll start back in August. But June 3rd, you want to make sure that you're here. Full praise and worship. And let me tell you, it was incredible. Sunday mornings is wonderful. Don't they do a good job on Sunday mornings? But Wednesday nights, they just kind of took their time. I wasn't rushed. Oh, it was so good. You got to be here. Personal ministry that took place, the word that Brett Pastor brought. Got to be here on First Wednesdays. It's awesome. Had several people working yesterday, serving and giving of their time. Had bakers and cookers and mashed potato stirrers. Several hundred people fed yesterday because of you. It may have been the only hot meal they got that day. Those that give to the alms, we use those funds to purchase that food that is done. So thank you for that. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house. We can worship you. We can be fed and strengthened. We can bring our first fruits, our tithe, our offering, our alms, our gifts. Thank you, Lord, that you'll use them for the furtherment of your kingdom in this community and across this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if all the kids will, you can look at the screen. We're going to have the water baptism of four young men. We are planning water baptism for next month. It'll be the third Sunday. Right now we have three young ladies. We didn't separate it on purpose, but whoever would like to be water baptized, if you're an adult and you are interested in water baptism, love to talk to you about that.
Good morning, Eagles Way Church. I'm so excited to be able to baptize these four young men this morning. God has a special plan and a purpose for their lives, and I'm so excited that they are taking these steps today at Eagles Way Church. Church, I pray that you will keep and that you will just pray for God to use them in a mighty, mighty way. Celebrate with us today. Cheer, clap. This is a big day. And I just am so glad that you're all a part of it.
Are you ready?
My name is Boone. My parents are Tasha and Ricky. And I actually listen in my heart upstairs when and Miss Holly and Miss Lena was doing it with me. And I want to get baptized because I think it's the right thing to do. It will turn me into a new person.
My parents are Jenny and Chris Wolfson, and the night I got saved was when I was in my bed about to go to sleep, and then I repeated after my mom to pray Jesus in my heart. And the reason I want to get baptized is because I want to because Jesus said so. And I want to show the whole world that I'll be a Christian.
Hi, I'm Carson, and my mom and dad are Barry and Jeanette Bliss, and I'm thinking about how I'm getting baptized today. The reason I want to be baptized today is that I saw this play that really inspired me, and that it's time I've accepted Jesus into my heart, and I'm ready. I'm just really, he's changed me, and I've accepted him, so I'm ready for him to really be.
Kazmarek, and my parents' name is Kevin and Kelly Kazmarek, and I asked Jesus into my heart in my bedroom late one night, somewhere at the beginning of the school year, and I want to get baptized in water because God said so.
Doesn't get much better than that, does it? If you'll stand. I charge you today to go and take what has been given to you and proclaim it to this community. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.